Springfield's Talk 104.1 and a good Wednesday morning, friends. The warmest day of the week shall be today. There's actually a chance of some rain mixed with snow a little bit later on in the week. We'll get to that in the KTTS First Alert forecast coming up. Mike Pence sending a letter to Nancy Pelosi explaining why it is that he's not going to push forward with this insane notion of the 25th Amendment. In fact, anyone who believes the 25th Amendment is applicable, if that person were president, would probably be legitimately subject to the 25th Amendment. This is something that Democrats have continued in their insane lust for power to push. And they continue just, they're in hyperdrive, total hyperdrive, working with their fellow party comrades that run big tech companies, that run some of the large corporations. I think we can finally, there are a number of notions that we can finally relieve ourselves of. One of those notions is that Democrats believe in free speech. I mean, it has become clear over the last week, this is not something they support. Democrats do not believe in individual liberties. They don't believe when they run a company that you should be able to make a livelihood, you should have all of your funds cut off if you don't fall in line with the Democrat Party. This is the sort of thing that happened in dictatorships. Your bank accounts will freeze up. The dictator will take all of your financing from you, all of your funding from you, make anyone too afraid to work with you so that you end up out on the street with your family. And that's what Democrats are doing. I think it's just become very, very clear they are not the party of compassion. They're not the party of coexistence. But we also are learning that it's clear that Republicans are not the party of big, massive corporation and multi-billionaires. You notice all of these massive corporations are cutting off funding to Republicans simply because they question some irregularities in the campaign? Because they dare do their duty. They weren't doing anything illegal. They weren't doing anything unconstitutional. They weren't doing anything that Josh Hawley, of course, is one of these, that Democrats haven't done in every Republican won presidential election this century. So why is it that they pitch a fit when Republicans do it, but they didn't pitch a fit when Democrats do it? Well, I think it's clear. The party of massive corporations, the 0.001 percenters, the multi-billionaires, is the Democrat Party. We are watching the full-blown, unapologetic exposure of who the Democrat Party really is. We're going to read the letter that Mike Pence sent to Nancy Pelosi coming up here in just a couple of moments, and also the all of this is history repeating itself. Joe Biden's inaugural campaign is America United. And what if if you've listened to this show long enough, you have learned that when the left talks about uniting, it doesn't mean let's learn to coexist. What it means is you will obey. You will give up all of your beliefs. You will give up all of your freedoms and instead bow down to the left. And are we not seeing that? While Biden is out there saying, yes, let's unite, we're seeing them implement their form of unification. And that is comply or die in the public forum. Here's the latest news update on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Partly sunny today, high of 56, 36 tonight, slight chance of showers tomorrow afternoon with a high of 47, and then a mix of rain and snow on Friday with a high of 38, it's 32. Liz Cheney, by the way, has joined the impeachment effort, saying that she will vote to impeach Trump. We are already watching the essential criminalization of any dissent at all in this country against the power structure. And I point as evidence to California. This is what they seem to not understand, the Liz Cheneys and the others that are saying, well, you know, this really does look like Trump was inciting some sort of violence here. You have one Democrat congresswoman who has gone public actually accusing Republican lawmakers in the U.S. Capitol of running reconnaissance missions the day before. She's making this accusation that all of this was a setup that you Republican members of Congress that think that you're safe by throwing Trump supporters under the bus and saying, yep, they're a bunch of crazy lunatics and, you know, you put them together with Trump and they're going to throw the country into turmoil. They're coming after you next. Meanwhile, out in California, there has been for some period of time now an effort to recall Gavin Newsom, the governor out there. There was a press conference yesterday in which Democrats referred to it as a coup, comparing it to what happened in the Capitol. From the very beginning, I said if Republicans allow room for the speech, the rally that Trump had, to be connected to vandalism and violence, then what they are allowing is Democrats to accuse any Republican who ever questions Democrats, who ever call them out for corruption, of pushing violence, of pushing insurrection. And now that's what's happening in California. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to see these things coming down the pike so very clearly and watch them happen. After we get the break, we're going to read to you the letter that Mike Pence sent to Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi explaining why he would not move forward with the insane notion of invoking the 25th Amendment, and using her own words in part of his explanation. That next, here's Traffic, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. This is the letter that Mike Pence sent to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in her request to invoke the 25th Amendment. Dear Madam Speaker, every American was shocked and saddened by the attack on our nation's capital last week, and I'm grateful for the leadership that you and other congressional leaders provided in reconvening Congress to complete the people's business on the very same day. It was a moment that demonstrated to the American people that unity is still possible in Congress when it is needed most. But now, with just 8 days left in the president's term, you and the Democratic caucus are demanding that the cabinet and I invoke the 25th Amendment. I do not believe that such a course of action is in the best interest of our nation or consistent with our Constitution. Last week, I did not yield to pressure to exert power beyond my constitutional authority to determine the outcome of the election, and I will not now yield to efforts in the House of Representatives to play political games at a time so serious in the life of our nation. As you know full well, the 25th Amendment was designed to address presidential incapacity or disability. Just a few months ago, when you introduced legislation to create a 25th Amendment commission, you said, quote, "A president's fitness for office must be determined by science and facts." You said that we must be, quote, "very respectful of not making a judgment on the basis of a comment or behavior that we don't like, but based on a medical decision," end quote. Madam Speaker, you are right. Under our Constitution, the 25th Amendment is not a means of punishment or usurpation. Invoking the 25th Amendment in such a manner would set a terrible precedent. After the horrible events of last week, our administration's energy is directed to ensuring an orderly transition. The Bible says that for everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to heal, and a time to build up. Well, that time is now. In the midst of a global pandemic, economic hardship for millions of Americans, and the tragic events of January 6th, now is the time for us to come together. Now is the time to heal. I urge you and every members of Congress to avoid actions that would further divide and inflame the passions of the moment. Work with us to lower the temperature and unite our country as we prepare to inaugurate President-elect Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. I pledge to you that I will continue to do my part in good faith with the incoming administration to ensure an orderly transition of power. So help me God. Sincerely, Michael R. Pence, Vice President of the United States. Now, Mike Pence, I know a lot of people found a great deal of aggravation with him because he did not send the electors back to their states, whether he had constitutional authority to or not. It's up for debate. But I know a lot of people found grave disappointment in that. I will say that I think Mike Pence has done probably about as good of a job as anyone could as vice president. He has never given the media any sort of ammunition in which to attack the president. He's never allowed himself to be used as a tool that I can remember anyhow. He has always, and he has always done his duties in a respectful manner. And he's even when he has been attacked by the left for being a Christian, by those that suffer the sins of bigotry and want to mock him and falsely accuse him of all sorts of horrible things, he has really demonstrated himself in not only a Christian-like man, but you know that of a very mature individual that does not let immature and sometimes evil people control what he does. And I think this letter reflects that. Mike Pence, this doesn't really have anything necessarily to do with the letter itself, but just my personal opinion about Mike Pence. He just honestly, genuinely seems like a good man. And that is a guy that's not motivated by money, a guy that's not motivated by power, a guy that's not motivated by having a job in politics so that he can end up being with some lobbyist firm or end up being, you know, some sort of go-between with a foreign nation and line his pockets. He's a guy that just is a Christian guy who believes in the country and wants to do a good thing and honestly prays when it comes to making decisions and prays for guidance and doesn't allow the outside noise to sway him because his only lighthouse is that of you know, God and just you know trying to consistently do what is right. Whether one agrees with him or not, I think his motivations are always pure and good. And I believe that letter reflects it. You also can't help but like the fact that he used Nancy Pelosi's own words against her. But that shows you that Democrats have no adherence to their own words. Just weeks ago, Nancy Pelosi herself warning that this should never be used against someone who's president of the United States unless a medical examination is done and a medical examination shows scientifically that this person is, you know, like they're in a coma or they're incapacitated. They just cannot do it. And here just weeks later, because she doesn't like something that Trump said, she wants the 25th Amendment to vote. This is a further indication you can never, ever, 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 ever believe elected officials when they say, oh, don't worry, this is what this law is for. We'll never use it for this. Now to Biden's inaugural theme of uniting America. After the break on Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. So the inauguration theme for Joe Biden is America United. The theme of the inauguration, America United, is going to be focused on a, quote, new national journey. The Biden team says will, quote, restore the soul of America and bring the country together. That is a new national journey and a path to a brighter future. Now, we all know that they have no interest in uniting. Their version of unification is join us or be destroyed. If Joe Biden really, truly, honestly, for let's say he was in the shower and he took to chasing his dog naked around the house again, trying to grab its tail for whatever weird, perverted reason he did it the first time, and he fell and he hit his head and he woke up and he thought, you know what, I really, truly do want to unite the country. The very first thing he could do is call on who run all of these corporations to canceling because of their political beliefs. This is truly one of the single most divisive things that are happening in this country right now. You're making Americans afraid to express their political beliefs. And for someone whose campaign, whose inauguration is based upon restoring the soul of America, to have your party firing people because of their political beliefs when they are in positions of power, to have your party threatening businesses if they don't fire people because of their political beliefs, that's not the soul of America. That's the opposite of the soul of America. That is the antithesis. That is the sort of thing that has happened in countries when you drive by, whether it's Arlington Cemetery or the National Cemeteries in Springfield through Missouri, through all of the states in this great nation, that countless number of people died to prevent from spreading through this world that sort of ideology. To defend people in other countries from being overtaken by politicians who would take away their right to speak freely without fear of repercussions. That could be a very, very, very big step. In fact, we know that in the past, Democrats have used their power of the purse strings and you know, tax credits and different government benefits in order to influence different organizations to behave in certain ways, or different companies, or even people to behave in certain ways. Biden could even say any company who fires people or refuses to hire people or harasses or intimidates people because of their political beliefs will no longer be allowed to get government contracts. How about that? I mean, how simple is that? If your goal is truly to unify people, I can all but guarantee you that not only has never crossed the mind of Biden or any Democrat advisors, but if it did, they'd shoot it down immediately because they have no interest in unifying unless it's unification by force, unification by duress, unification by undue influence, complete and utter compliance. Give up who you are, give up your beliefs, give up your rights to express your beliefs. That one step, and I got to tell you, as much as this whole thing stinks, I'd give credit to Biden if he did that, or any Democrat. Is there not one single elected Democrat that can stand up and say this? Not one. From a local level to a national level. We shouldn't be canceling people. We should not be destroying people's lives because we don't agree with their politics. Is the Democrat Party so authoritarian, so totalitarian, that there is not a single elected member from local to national and everything in between, county and state, not one in this entire country that will say, stop, that's wrong? Not only is it not American, but it's not humane. I mean, apparently we know the answer because I don't hear any. I don't hear any at all. And that deafening silence speaks volumes. Coming up, we will be chatting with D. Wampler in the 8 o'clock hour. You know, it's amazing the rhetoric that is allowed versus the rhetoric that's not allowed. There is a freshman Republican who is trying, who is lobbying Nancy Pelosi to stop distributing China Daily, which is a communist propaganda piece. It's Chinese Communist Party run propaganda. Nancy Pelosi has it distributed to members of the House. You think, what is considered appropriate speech to them versus what isn't? As they have now decided that there is no free speech in this country, there's only a speech that they allow, which is speech they agree with, and communist propaganda is some of that speech. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Here's the latest traffic. Obviously, the traffic was outdated. For those of you that heard it, Jason Ryan is not even in the newsroom right now. I apologize for that. Don't know what's going on over there, but we'll get it remedied as soon as possible. I know it's like a weird concept that we don't really have any control over the newsroom, and it's a separate entity, even though we're all one and the same. I know it seems confusing, but that's just the way that it is. That's just how she goes. TurnersRockLiving.com. If you haven't hit the website, I recommend you do so. Better yet, it's going to be a nice day today. You ought to drive by the facility, even if you are not in the market for senior living. Because it's a really cool facility. It's got a transitional component to it that I really like. Now, I tell you quite often about the resort-style pool, the on-site movie theater, all the free movies you want. Instead of a cafeteria, it has an on-site restaurant with servers and a host, hostess, a bistro, a salon. It has a rooftop pub, the rooms 1, 2, and 3 bedroom with 1, 2, 3 bathrooms. I mean, you get a 3-bedroom luxury unit with 3 bathrooms and 12-foot high ceilings with maintenance and housekeeping. I tell you about all that. But what I really like is the transitional component to it. So let's say you're like 56 years old and you're like, we don't want to upkeep a house any longer, but we're not ready to retire. We're very active. We're constantly doing things. Well, there's a place for you. But what happens maybe 20, 25 years from now when maybe you do need just a little extra, a little assisted living, not full-blown care, but assisted living? A portion of Turner's Rock is just for that. So you don't have to move out of what you have known as your home for the last 20 years. And then if it comes to the point where you actually need what, you know, is referred to as memory care, you need a little more assistance in your day-to-day life, there is a section of Turner's Rock that is there for you as well. So you don't have to be uprooted from what you have known as your home for the last couple of decades. I think that's a neat idea. It's just off of 65 on East Sunshine. You can just swing by there. They have a welcome center. Check the place out. Or visit them, again, online at turnersrockliving.com. Here's the latest news update. KTTS First Alert forecast. Partly sunny, a high of 56 today, 36 for a low tonight. Slight chance of showers tomorrow with a high of 47. And Friday, a mixture of rain and snow with a high of 38. It's 32 and clear. I want to make one other recommendation before I move on. Joe Biden's claim that his inaugural theme is going to be America United, and I recommend if that's really truly what you're interested in, the first thing I would do is to encourage companies to stop firing people and threatening people who are employees and stopping doing business with people because of their political beliefs. That sort of division is not helpful. That sort of division creates enemies between neighbors and friends and family members. But I would also give the recommendation, stop calling people who are Trump supporters Nazis. These seem like very obvious things, don't they? Yet for whatever reason, they escape the Democrats. It would just be another recommendation. You know, listen, if you want people to get along, I got a couple people together, you know, and you're like, hey, you guys have some divisions here. Let's talk about forward steps so that you don't have to like each other. I'm not asking that, but so we can at least peacefully move forward. Number one, stop threatening to take away his livelihood. Number two, stop calling him a Nazi. Maybe you could do that. Stop calling him Hitler. But it's just little baby steps, possibly. Evidently, that's too much for people in the Democrat Party. Meanwhile, freshman Representative Ashley Hinson, a Republican of Iowa, has petitioned House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to stop distributing a Chinese communist propaganda paper to House offices on Capitol Hill. This according to a letter sent late last week and obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. Hinson, who was elected in November, said she was appalled that lawmakers receive unsolicited copies of China Daily, which is a Chinese state-controlled newspaper that has been designated as communist propaganda by the State Department. China Daily has been delivered to congressional offices each morning for many years, despite outrage among some members who view its circulation as inappropriate. Gee, I guess we know where it is that Democrats are learning how to treat political opposition. Clearly, they've been reading this for some period of time. The newly elected Republican congresswoman said, frankly, I was appalled when I walked into work Friday morning, saw my office had received an unsolicited copy of China Daily. How can we expect the American people to trust that Congress will take on the Chinese Communist Party with its dangerous propaganda while it's being delivered right to our doorstep? Well, they can't. I mean, they can't trust it, Congress. I mean, while there may be the very, very few, this is something that has been going on over and over and over. This is a paper that has been officially designated by the State Department as propaganda from the Chinese. And this isn't being delivered for purposes of research. This is being delivered like the USA Today outside your hotel room. Is it any wonder? This is probably one of the few pieces of literature that Democrats tend to read. Some because it reaffirms their belief system. And also it, again, teaches them how to treat political opposition. It teaches them, it's taught them, apparently, how to teach those who are political dissenters, who don't fall in line with the elite establishment. The letter demands Pelosi use her power as the chairman of the leader to stop the communist propaganda, the CCP, from distributing its state-run publication within the hallowed halls. The offensive garbage should not be automatically distributed to congressional offices at the end of the at the cost of the American taxpayers. China Daily is among the communist regime's most well-known propaganda organs. This is the party that is creating the narrative that any sort of verbal support or written support for conservatives or for Donald Trump should be banned and not allowed. But Chinese propaganda is not only allowed, but it is at the taxpayers' expense distributed to members of Congress. You know, as people often post, let that sink in. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. It's amazing the sleight of hand in retrospect. Democrats screaming about Russia being the biggest danger in the world. You look at what we now know China did when it came to the coronavirus. They lied. And the first ones there in order to help them carry the lie were Democrats. In the beginning, while Trump and Pence were holding press conferences about the potential dangers of coronavirus, Democrats were encouraging people to not be xenophobic, to Nancy Pelosi, you may remember, down there at a Chinese festival, encouraging people to come down without their masks on. When Trump banned travel from China, Biden called it racist, xenophobic. Whenever there were accusations that China may not be honest about what they knew and the numbers and how it was that they dealt with the coronavirus outbreak, he was accused of inciting racism against Chinese people in America, tripping over themselves to protect the communist regime of China. The story just this last hour where at the taxpayers' expense, Nancy Pelosi is having daily the number one top communist propaganda paper, China Daily, delivered to every member of Congress so they can read through it and learn. And now Democrats who run these companies are implementing these sort of social credits that we've been hearing about over the last couple of years in China, where if you don't support the party platform, you lose certain abilities to do business with different entities. When the Orwellian news stories started popping up, one of them had to do with travel. And people who did not follow the Communist Party platform, those who may speak out against it, were to lose their ability to travel. And we're already hearing here in the United States about Democrats who run some of these like flight attendant unions. They want to ban, in some instances, or explore banning Trump supporters from traveling. I mean, it is as if they are very carefully studying, watching, and taking direction from the communist Chinese on how to run things here in the United States. And now, like Hong Kong, they try to take the action of a few individuals who commit vandalism or a violent act and utilize that in order to suppress anyone and everyone who supports anything other than the communist regime. It is used as justification for criminalizing free speech. And what do we have here in the United States happening right now? The ludicrous notion that Russia was what we had to worry about in this country, when apparently, for some time now, the Democrats have been studying very carefully the way that the communist Chinese deal with people. And the implementation has been occurring for some time now. To further illustrate the point, New Jersey Representative Sherrill, Democrat, claiming that unidentified Republican lawmakers led apparent reconnaissance tours prior to the Capitol attack. This again from, not just the communist Chinese, former Soviet Union, Cuba, Venezuela. I mean, this is how they all behave. You falsely accuse the political opposition of doing things illegal. Or you accuse them of doing things that are legal and claiming that they're illegal. Now, I can all begin. Well, let me read to you from the story. Representative Mike Sherrill, a Democrat from New Jersey, said Tuesday that she witnessed some lawmakers leading people through the Capitol the day before the riots in what looked like a reconnaissance tour and said members will be held accountable. Now, anyone who has a single brain cell active in their head knows that members of Congress give oftentimes people that are from their district tours of the Capitol. And if they're not available to do it, then they have staffers do it. But oftentimes, depending on who it is, lawmakers like to do it. This isn't just the U.S. Capitol. Years ago, on a number of occasions, I've gotten tours in Missouri State Capitol by lawmakers. You know, they take you around, show you points of interest, and so forth. So what is a normal, totally benign activity One in which it's probably some of the very few instances in which lawmakers in Washington, D.C. actually have some sort of contact with voters and constituents outside of campaigning. And here you have a Democrat trying to turn it into a prisonable activity. Accusing them of running recon tours beforehand, essentially claiming that the breach of the Capitol was done because ahead of time, Republican lawmakers were showing them, here's where you go, here's where you can come in, here's a point of vulnerability, here's where there's going to be law enforcement. This is an area you need to watch out for. Cheryl made her comments during a roughly 13-minute video on Facebook where she, by the way, I'm sure Facebook won't ban this. Of course they won't ban this. You know, Facebook will ban Donald Trump from speaking, the president of the United States, but you have some nutjob Democrat accusing Republican lawmakers of running recon mission tours ahead of time so that there can be an overthrow of the government. Well, that's perfectly reasonable because that's free speech after all. She said, I also intend to see that those members of Congress who abetted him, talking about Trump, those members of Congress who had groups coming through the Capitol that I saw on January 5th for reconnaissance for that day, those members of Congress who incited the violent crowd, those members of Congress that attempted to help our president undermine democracy, I'm going to see they're held accountable. See, some of you establishment Republican lawmakers who think that you're safe because you're part of the establishment, that you're safe because you're going to condemn Trump, that you're safe because you're going to throw millions of Trump voters under the bus. You're out of your mind. In this particular instance, all you have to have done is given constituents a tour of the Capitol, and you are being accused of conspiring to overthrow the government. You think it's going to stop there? Is there any condemnation from the media? Even this Fox story, I don't see the words without providing evidence. The closest they come is citing Politico, in which they write, the congresswoman didn't name any of the lawmakers or offer any additional info for what qualified their actions to be reconnaissance. It's not clear how she determined that the reconnaissance was connected to the riots the following day, according to Politico. So they aren't saying without any evidence. They're saying, well, she's just not providing us that information at this time. Now, in addition to that, as I mentioned earlier, coming up after the break, there has been a recall effort going on in California regarding Gavin Newsom, largely because of, well, and for some people, solely because of his response to the coronavirus and the inconsistent application of that response, coupled with him getting caught violating the rules and the laws that he is dictating upon people. And that now, that effort and the people behind the effort, the citizens who are signing the petition, are being threatened. A press conference yesterday, Democrats comparing them to the rioters in the Capitol, saying that this is an attempted coup. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. I've warned the accepted premise that somehow, you know, that what Trump was saying, and by the way, numerous legal analysts and former prosecutors who are in the business of prosecuting people who have utilized protests in order to incite riots have read through everything Trump has said and said this doesn't come anywhere close to anything that even resembles a legal definition of inciting any sort of riot. But why should the law get in the way? But for those who want to surrender the argument that that you know, simply telling people that it's time to, you know, let them know how we feel and that we shouldn't accept what's going on, that is tantamount to some sort of crime, is criminalizing anybody who dares question the Democrats. And now, out in California, they are using this in order to accuse Republican, or not Republican, but California citizens who have signed a recall attempt of Gavin Newsom, which, just like challenging electors, is perfectly legal and provided for in the California Constitution. They're accusing them of attempting a coup. And specifically at a press conference yesterday, comparing them to the rioters who stormed the Capitol. This is what is happening. When I tell you that these things are going to happen, it is because I know how these people operate, and that's why it always turns out to be accurate. And this is just another example, and it's not going to stop here. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine in any upcoming election what poll watchers are going to have to deal with if they dare point out any potential election fraud. I mean, we might as well not even have them any longer. News in 60 seconds, I'm Nick Reed.